Alex, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
Now, first off, how does this work? Like, how were asylum seekers that are or were stuck in detention able to participate in a class action if they don't actually have rights as Australian citizens?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So it's interesting that they're bringing an action against the Commonwealth government because they're not in Australia. But anyone can bring an action against the Commonwealth government. You don't have to be a citizen. You could be a tourist here and have something that happens to you and you could sue the government. The interesting thing, though, is that why aren't they suing the Nauruan government for their conditions in detention? And the reason is that the Australian government has really admitted that it is responsible for those detention centres. It set them up. Most of the people who are running the centres are under contract with the Commonwealth government. So Australia remains responsible for what happens to asylum seekers in the detention centres. Now, I might add that in the middle of last year, there was another class action by refugees and asylum seekers on Manus Island. So a class action that was also brought against the Commonwealth government. And in that case, it was about 1,300 asylum seekers. And that case was slightly different because one of the claims they made, as well as the conditions in detention being terrible and so a breach of a duty of care, they also claimed that their detention was illegal. And that's because the Papua New Guinean government, the Supreme Court of Papua New Guinea, had found that you couldn't detain people who hadn't committed a crime in Papua New Guinea. So actually keeping people in Papua New Guinea in detention who hadn't committed a crime was against Papua New Guinea's law, and they needed to be released. But it took many years for them to be released, and so they said they were falsely imprisoned for those 4 years from 2012 to 2016. And they before that went to court, the Commonwealth government settled that claim. So that means that the Commonwealth said, all right, we don't want to go to court, because if we go to court and we're found that we're liable, that means anyone can bring a claim against us. So they settled that for $70 million. So for the 1,300 asylum seekers, that would be approximately $50,000 each that they got out of that. Unfortunately, they're still, of course, detained in Manus Island. So that $50,000 isn't really what they wanted, although it's a nice bonus, but what they really want is their freedom.
Right. So it's happened before and they're still there. So these lawsuits, if these were to be successful, would they actually have an effect on our current border policies?
They wouldn't have an effect on our border policies in that the government can choose to continue to detain people. This is an effect in the power to detain. But certainly it's a very, very bad look, certainly in the international community, if the courts find, yes, you have tortured people, yes, you've done really terrible things to people, and you are responsible and you need to pay compensation. That's a terrible look. And it also just brings to reality what's actually going on. Like, it's very hard for the media sometimes to shine a light on what's happening in Nauru and Manus Island, because they can't get to Nauru and Manus Island. So we rely on reports by sometimes Medicine Sans Frontières or Amnesty International. Sometimes the Human Rights Commission in Australia can go and do some investigation of what's going on, but that's hard to do. So this court action is also a chance to shine a light on what's actually happening.
Yeah, and you mentioned Doctors Without Borders, and they've had a few issues with the Nauruan government as well. Do you think that now, during the process of these lawsuits, they might be able to be given, I suppose, a bit of power back to go help the people on detention in in Nauru?
Look, I think that's unlikely. I don't think this will have much effect on that. The issue that Medicine Sans Frontières had with the Nauruan government is the Nauruan government says, this is our sovereign state. We don't like non-government organisations coming in and criticising what's happening to people in our state. The Nauruan government is in an interesting position. They're a bit conflicted because they're getting a lot of money from the Australian government to run these detention centres. They don't have much else happening in their economy, so they sort of rely on that money. They don't really want too much criticism of the detention centres, because they probably don't necessarily want them to close down. So that is a difficult thing for the Nauruan government. This lawsuit, I imagine the Nauruan government won't be particularly happy about either, because although it's against the Commonwealth government, it will expose what's happening in the detention centres, which will also reflect on the Nauruan government.
All right. Now, to the best of your knowledge, has a class action of this kind ever been pursued in other countries? And if so, what could we learn from that?
Yeah, like, I don't know about class actions of people in detention. The Australian detention regime on Manus Island and Nauru is pretty unique. There's not many other places in the world that, where it's possible to have an arrangement with a sovereign nation to detain people there under your jurisdiction. I think probably the closest analogy might be Guantanamo Bay, which was in Cuba, and the Americans were responsible for that. I'm not aware of class actions happening in Guantanamo, but certainly there were individual actions. But having said that, class actions are a common and increasingly common way for people to pursue rights. So often lawyers look around for going, well, although one person can't afford to bring an action against the Commonwealth government, it's just too expensive for them. If we can have a whole lot of people and it means that the payout will be more, that means that it's possible to bring that action. So it's sort of a clever way to hold big corporations or governments to account where individuals wouldn't be able to do it.
All right. And I know you touched on this just a little earlier, but would a bad outcome for the government in these suits potentially open them up to more legal challenges on an international level?
Certainly will open them up to more legal challenges by other people on Nauru and Manus. So if this went to court and the court found the government to be liable, then I think anyone, even those who are now left Nauru and Manus, could well bring an action against the government. So that would be, there's a potentially huge liability for the government. Not sure about international actions. I think it's more the individuals who were directly affected by the policy of detention. It's always been a big risk that the government held, and people have said it, that it's afterwards when people have terrible mental health issues and trauma, and they have that for the rest of their lives, that the government may well be liable for detaining them when they hadn't done anything wrong. So this is maybe the start of what, and if it's successful, certainly I think we'll see more lawsuits.
All right, well, it's definitely one to watch. Alex, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.